You studied for weeks. You flew the maneuvers until they were muscle memory. The airspace, the regulations, the systems, the weather minimums, you had it all. And then the designated pilot examiner closes the folder, looks across the table, and says the words you never wanted to hear. Not today. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we are going to talk about the mistakes that are getting pilots sent home on check ride day, because most of them have nothing to do with flying ability. They have to do with knowledge gaps, procedural slips, and pressure-induced errors that are completely preventable once you know what to look for. This comes from the team at Bold Method, who do excellent work breaking down pilot training concepts, and they put together a list of 8 of the most common reasons candidates don't walk out of the examiner's office with a new certificate. Let's go through all 8 because every one of them is worth your time before your next ride. Today's ATIS is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. They build aviation challenge coins that mark the milestones behind every step in flight. First solo instrument rating, airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story of something you earned. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk check rides. Mistake number 1, walking in without a complete and accurate weight and balance calculation. This sounds basic, and it is basic. That's exactly why it trips people up. You've done 100 weight and balance problems during training. You know how they work. And when the examiner asks you to run one for today's flight, the temptation is to go fast because you've done this before. Here's what you need to know. Examiners are not just checking whether your number comes out under gross weight. They are watching how you work the problem. Are you using the correct moment arms? Are you referencing the actual aircraft's pilot's operating handbook? Not a generic example. Are you accounting for fuel burn during the flight? Are you showing your work or just announcing a number? A sloppy weight and balance, even if the final answer is technically correct, can raise serious questions about your system's knowledge and your habits as a pilot in command. Take your time, show your method, reference the actual documents for the actual aircraft. Mistake number 2, not knowing your aircraft systems well enough to explain them. The oral exam is where a lot of check rides end before the airplane ever leaves the ramp. And the single most common oral exam trap is being able to describe what a system does without being able to explain how it does it. There is a difference between the pitot static system provides inputs to the airspeed indicator, altimeter, and vertical speed indicator, and actually being able to walk the examiner through the plumbing. Explain what happens when the pitot tube ices over versus the static port becomes blocked. Describe the symptoms the pilot would see on each instrument, and explain the appropriate response. Examiners are trained to ask follow-up questions. They will dig. If you can describe the function but not the mechanism, they will find it. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, which has replaced the old practical test standards for most certificates and ratings, requires demonstrated knowledge, not just recalled facts. There is a distinction, and good examiners know how to find where your understanding gets shallow. Study systems until you can explain them out loud to someone who is not a pilot. If you can do that, you probably know it well enough. Mistake number 3. Not knowing the Airman Certification Standards cold. The ACS is your check ride syllabus. It is also the document your examiner is holding while you fly. Every task, every knowledge requirement, every skill standard is in there with specific tolerances. Altitude within 100 feet. Heading within 10 degrees. Airspeed within 10 knots. These are not suggestions. They are the published pass-fail criteria. A lot of candidates spend their training flying the maneuvers without ever actually reading the document that defines what the maneuver has to look like. That is backwards. Download the ACS for your certificate or rating. Read it. Fly to its standards from day one of training, not the week before your check ride. And here's something that trips up transitioning pilots specifically. The tolerances in the ACS vary by task and by certificate level. Private standards are not the same as instrument standards, which are not the same as commercial. If you're adding a rating, make sure you're studying the right document for what you're actually being tested on. Mistake number 4, not knowing your emergency procedures to memory. There is a category of information that you need to have in your head before you reach for the checklist. Engine fire on the ground, engine failure after takeoff. If you are reaching for a book when the examiner pulls the throttle to idle on climbout, that is not where you want to be. Most pilots' operating handbooks distinguish between memory items and checklist items precisely because some situations require immediate action before you have time to find a page. Your examiner knows what those items are. You need to know what they are. This goes beyond emergency procedures too. Know your aircraft's limitations without having to look them up. Maneuvering speed, never exceed speed. Maximum flap extension speed. Maximum demonstrated crosswind. These numbers should come instantly when asked. If you're doing math to remember your VA, that is a gap worth closing before your check ride. Mistake number 5, poor checklist discipline in the airplane. Here is a subtle one. There is a difference between doing checklists and using checklists. Doing a checklist is reciting items from memory and touching things as you go, with the actual printed checklist serving as a prop. Using a checklist means reading each item, performing the action, verifying the result, and moving to the next item. Examiners watch your hands. They watch your eyes. They watch whether you're actually cross-referencing the printed checklist or just performing a memorized flow and calling it a checklist. Some flows are appropriate and even encouraged, particularly for high workload phases of flight, but the flow should be followed by a challenge and response check of the actual document. This also means not skipping items, because you're sure you already did them. Positive confirmation is what separates a professional scan from a habit pattern. Habit patterns break down under stress. Checklists do not. Mistake number 6, busting altitude or airspeed tolerances during the practical. You know the tolerances. 100 feet on altitude, 10 degrees on heading, 10 knots on airspeed for most tasks. The question is not whether you know them. The question is whether you can hold them while also talking to an examiner, managing the aircraft, clearing the area, and handling whatever scenario gets thrown at you. This is where training volume matters. There is no substitute for actual hours flown to the standard. If you practiced every maneuver to ACS, tolerances starting from your very first lesson, you probably have the motor memory to hold them under pressure. If you practiced to looser standards and tightened up only in the weeks before your ride, the pressure of the checkride itself may push you back toward your actual baseline. Talk to your instructor honestly about where your tolerances actually are in practice, not your best day, not the day you were perfectly rested and the air was smooth. Your average day, that is where your checkride performance is going to come from. One specific area Bold Method calls out, airspeed in slow flight. Candidates sometimes creep below the target airspeed while managing configuration changes, especially if they are focused on maintaining altitude at the same time. The examiner is watching both needles simultaneously. Make sure you are too. This mistake number 7, letting a single error rattle you for the rest of the flight. This is the one that gets strong pilots. You bust an altitude by 150 feet during your steep turns. You were right on the edge of the tolerance and you went through it. Your heart rate goes up. You spend the next 5 minutes thinking about whether the examiner marks something down instead of thinking about the next task. And then you bust the next maneuver too because your focus is behind the airplane. Here is the reality. Examiners are human. They understand that practical tests are high-pressure environments. A single error, depending on the severity, does not necessarily end your ride. What they are evaluating is not perfection. They are evaluating whether you have the judgment and the skills to be a safe pilot in command. What does not look good is compounding the error. What does look good is recognizing it, correcting it, and moving forward with professional focus. Treat each task as its own event. What happened 30 seconds ago is behind you. Fly the airplane that is in front of you right now. Some candidates have been known to talk themselves into a discontinuation by making statements like, "That was terrible. I never do that after a mistake." Do not editorialize your own performance during the test. Just fly. Mistake number 8. Not taking command of the situation as pilot in command. This is the big one. This is the one that cuts across every other mistake on the list. From the moment the practical test begins, you are the pilot in command, not the examiner. The examiner has an FAA authorization to conduct tests. That does not make them the pilot in command of your airplane. You are, and examiners are specifically watching to see whether you act like it. That means when the weather starts to look marginal for a cross country, you make the go or no-go call and you explain your reasoning. You do not ask the examiner what they think you should do. It means when you're given a simulated diversion to an alternate airport, you pick up the chart, assess the options, make a decision, and brief it. Decisiveness backed by sound reasoning is what command authority looks like. It means if you're being rushed through a checklist by traffic or task saturation, you slow down anyway. If you need a moment to orient yourself on an approach, you take it. If you're not comfortable with the clearance you just received in the terminal area, you ask for clarification. Examiners are trained to test your command authority by applying pressure. They may express impatience. They may suggest a course of action that is not optimal. They are watching to see whether you will compromise safety or procedure because someone in the right seat expressed an opinion. The answer they want to see is, you will not. Pilot in command means you own the outcome. Act like it from the pre-flight to the shutdown. Now, a few things worth saying about checkrides in general before we wrap this up. A checkride discontinuation, a bust, is not the end of anything. It is a data point. It tells you and your instructor exactly where to focus. Pilots who have gone through a discontinuation and come back more prepared often describe it as one of the most valuable training events of their career, which is a perspective that is very hard to hold in the moment, but worth remembering. The practical test is also not a trap. Examiners are not trying to fail you. They have a legal obligation to ensure that the pilots they certify are safe to operate in the national airspace. That is a responsibility worth taking seriously, and most examiners take it seriously themselves. They want you to pass. They just want to be certain that your passing is warranted. Walk in prepared. Walk in rested. Walk in ready to act as pilot in command from the first briefing. And if something goes wrong, fly the airplane, make the call, and keep going. Thanks to Bold Method for putting this together. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly the standard. See you next time.